Bibles this morning, would you turn to the 27th division of the Psalms, Psalm number 27. And while you're turning there, if you're struggling with your New Year's resolutions, let me just give you a little help this morning. Make a list of everything you did this past week and then write "don't" before it. And you've got your resolution. Make me and you a better person, I'm sure. So these six verses that I want to unpack for a moment in your presence give to us, in my opinion, five things that will prepare us for this coming year. If we know these five principles, if we can affirm in our hearts and minds these five things, it will prepare us for the coming year. So Psalm 27, 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, would you help us today? Would you guide us today? Would you direct us today? Would you impart to us today the true meaning of these verses that we might prepare ourselves for the coming year? And in doing so, Lord, may we have a better desire, a greater sacrifice, a truer commitment to the cause of Christ and all things spiritual. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the psalmist begins by simply declaring that the Lord is my light and my salvation. And so the very first thing that I want to talk to you about in preparation for the coming year is a question. Have you settled the sin, salvation, and security question in your heart and in your mind? That's the first thing I want to ask you today. Have you settled the sin, salvation, and security question in your mind today? I am not asking if you've joined a church, nor am I asking if you've been baptized, nor am I asking if you answer to the tag Baptist. What I am asking is, deep within the recesses of your spiritual heart, have you settled the sin, salvation, and security question? And I think you can answer that by looking in two directions. One is an upward direction. The other is an outward direction. Upward, have you repented of your sin? Has it occurred to you that the life you've lived and the life that I've lived and the life that we all have lived was responsible for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? He died because all we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned everyone to our own way, and God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. During the Advent season, in fact, the last four Sundays, we've spent much time talking about the great need of a Savior because of how great a sinner you and I happen to be. And so I want to ask you this morning, have you truly and completely repented of your sin? Have you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life because you've repented, you've been convicted, you've been converted, and you trust Him with all your heart to be your Savior? That's the upward question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone as your Savior? Now here's the outward question. Have you made that public? Have you told others? Have you walked the aisle in a New Testament church and said, I am saved by the grace of God, and because Christ has saved me, I want to publicly testify, witness. I want to brag on Jesus. I want others to know outwardly what has happened to me inwardly. Have you followed Him in baptism? Or you can excuse yourself and say, well, Pastor, if salvation is not based on works, it's based on grace, and Jesus lives in my heart, why must I be baptized? You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But you do have to be baptized to walk in obedience on this earth. For Jesus commanded every one of us to publicly declare what has privately occurred. If Christ lives within, I am to testify outwardly in every way possible that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And so to stand in the water is to say, I am crucified with Christ. To be buried under the water is to say, I died with Him to sin, and I am raised up with Him to live in a new life before others. Have you joined a New Testament church? Well, Pastor, I don't believe you have to be a church member to go to heaven. No, sir, you're right about that. But you do have to be a faithful, active, supporting member of a New Testament church to walk in obedience before God in the here and now. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. To say that you love the head and you have no time for the bride is not biblical. In fact, it's heresy. The New Testament teaches us that Christ our Savior is also Lord over all in our lives. So here's the question. Have you settled the salvation question, the security question, the sin question in your heart? Upwardly, have you been convicted? You've confessed it, you've repented, and you've trusted Jesus. Outwardly, have you made that public profession of faith? Follow the Lord in baptism and become a faithful, supporting member of a New Testament church. You want a good year in 2018? You start your year off knowing you've settled the sin, salvation, and security question. Number two, what the text says in the last part of verse 1, the Lord is my stronghold. He is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, I want you to follow me very closely here. If the first question was, have you settled the sin salvation question? The second question is, do you understand that inner peace begins with true theology? What? Well, let me ask you that again. Do you understand that inner peace begins with true theology. If you don't believe the right things, you won't behave in the right way. Do you understand that if you're going to have the peace of God and peace with God, you're going to have to understand true theology? David says, the Lord is my stronghold. I don't need to be afraid of anything or anyone. His theology was, if God rules and if God reigns, if God is sovereign and I'm saved, I'm a child of God, then there's nothing in this world that I need fear, and there's no one in this world that I need to be afraid of. That's true theology. God's got this. And when we understand that God has this, and if you're saying, what's this? I'm saying God has it all. God has anything. God has everything. If God is in control, then you need to know you do not have to fear what man can do or what can happen or what can take place in your life. Just give me a moment to give a testimony. The prosperity gospel says if you believe hard enough, long enough, beg, bargain, and badger God enough times, God will make you prosperous by obligation. And then if you have that name it and claim it concept in your life, you believe that you are entitled and that God owes you something. And I'm going to tell you very frankly this morning, you've already gotten more than you deserve if you're a child of God. And I'm going to tell you quite frankly today that God is not obligated to do anything God does not choose to do. And I'm going to say one last thing, that you and I have a lot of gall and gumption and ought to be ashamed of ourselves to expect God to do something for us that He has not seen to be in our best interest. Matthew 6 says, He'll supply all my need. That ought to settle it. How's your theology this year? How is it? What do you believe? You know, what you believe will have a lot to do with how you behave. And the question I pose to you this morning is, do you understand that inner peace comes from a true theology? That if God is God and you're His child, there's nothing or no one that you need to fear. I'm sure you're thinking, but what if? Well, I serve a God who takes care of the what ifs of life, and so do you if you'll just trust Him. Number three, really want you to get this. This rocks a lot of worlds. I stay busy in counseling because of a lack of understanding about this third principle. Did you know that Bible faith will never ask you to deny reality? Bible faith will never ask you to deny reality. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, when I have adversaries and foes that come against me to make me stumble or fall, even if an army encamps against me, my heart doesn't have to fear. Even if war arises against me, I can be confident. Do you see what the Bible is doing? The Bible is being transparent. It's being honest. It admits that there are enemies. It admits that there are conflicts. It admits that we are under attack. It admits that bad things do happen to good people. If you can understand that this morning, if you can recognize today that Bible faith will never ask you to deny reality, you won't get caught up in the idea that if it's good, God did it. If it's bad, the devil did it. And so I've got to war against what happens in my life. Listen, you must accept, not endure, not escape, but you must accept, embrace, and even enjoy God's moving in your life, because you are His child and Father knows best. Because God knows what He's up to. And Bible faith will never ask you to deny the realities of life. Somebody in this room today will have a tragedy, a crisis, an illness, a difficulty, a problem, an issue in the next few days, weeks, or months. And you'll wonder, what did I do wrong? Why did this happen to me? Why me, not them? Why now, not then? And if you can just grasp this thought, that Bible faith is not trying to tell you that life doesn't hurt and that bad things do happen, but it is telling you that you can have the peace of God if you know that God rules and God reigns and that this is temporary and that something eternal is on its way. Here's a fourth question. And this may dig deep into the psyche of every one of us. and some may understand and some may not. Have you learned that God is more beautiful than any ugly thing that can ever happen to you? Have you learned that God is more beautiful than any ugly thing that can ever happen to you? David says in verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I'm going to pursue, I'm going to seek after it." Maybe that's a resolution for the new year. I'm going to ask of the Lord that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. Most of the time when we read that verse, we think about heaven. I'm going to ask that I might dwell in the temple of the Lord and gaze upon His beauty. That's not what David's saying. See, in David's day, there was an issue that his son Solomon was going to build a temple. The tabernacle was already present. David's not talking about heaven in this verse. He's saying, all the days of my life, I want to view the beauty of the Lord as I come into His presence. I want to be able to look at what happens to me in my life and say, no matter how ugly it is, no matter how awful it is, no matter how tragic it seems to be, my God is more beautiful than any of these issues, any of these circumstances, any of these things. He's wanting to say this: just take a quick look at your problem, but fix your eyes upon your solution. Just take a quick glance at your problem, but begin to gaze at the solution to your problem. See what's wrong, but look at who reigns. See what's happened, but look at who's in control. Understand that nothing can happen to you that's as ugly as the beauty of the Lord that will shine through in your life if you will keep your eyes on Jesus. If you've ever flown, you've most likely been a part of this illustration. Quite often, I have gotten into the plane, looked out the little porthole of a window, and it would be raining, it would be cloudy, dreary on the outside. The plane taxis down the runway, gets up the right amount of speed, lifts off, and about 3 or 4 minutes after liftoff, breaks through the darkest and dreariest of clouds into the brightest of sunshine. And you reach over without even thinking and pull down the little shutter because of how gloriously bright it is on the outside. A lot of us let the clouds and the dreariness around us hide us from the sun. But rest assured, if you will trust that He's more beautiful than any dreary, dark, or disastrous thing that happens around you, if you will spiritually lift off and fly like the eagle, you will discover the brightness of His beauty and the glory of His grace, even in the midst of dark days. So that brings us to the fifth and to the final. And it's not really a question. With the first four being questions, I decided just to make a statement. So question one was, have you settled the sin salvation issue? Question two, do you understand that inner peace begins with a true theology? Question three, do you know that the Bible never asks you to deny reality in life? There is evil. We have enemies. Bad things do happen. Number four, have you learned that God is more beautiful than any of the ugly things that you will ever face? Well, here's my declaration in verse 5, and it's verse 5 and 6. He's going to hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He's going to conceal me under the cover of His tent. In fact, He's going to lift me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I'll sing and make melody to the Lord. Here's the declaration. Don't forget, in this coming year, if you truly want to be prepared, don't forget that God is sovereign and you are secure, and we need to praise him every day. Don't forget, God's sovereign. This thing's not out of control. Somebody said, what's this world coming to? Well, on the one hand, it's coming to judgment. On the other hand, it's coming to Jesus. And I like where we are in time, because the more that happens here, the sooner we're all going to be there. I like that. I like what's going on around me, because the more that the Bible is fulfilled on the earth, the sooner we'll begin to see the fulfillment in the heavens. Don't forget God's sovereign. Don't forget you're secure. And because of that, resolve to praise him every day of your life. Now let me just give you a little prayer to pray in the morning. Just got an A, B, and a C to it. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, I'm just a desperate sinner saved by grace. Nothing to me that's valuable or worthwhile or worthy. I'm just a desperate sinner saved by grace. So, Lord, today I'm going to need the guidance and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life if I do one single thing that honors you. If I have a healthy, holy thought, if I make a good move, if I have a decent decision, I'm going to need your Holy Spirit in my life to direct me and guide me. Now, you've prayed two of the three, A and B. First of all, you admitted, I'm just a desperate sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I'm going to need your Holy Spirit in my life today if I do anything at all that brings you honor and glory. And number three, whatever happens, I'm going to praise you for today. Whatever happens, I'm going to praise you for today. Now, that little prayer won't take you but a moment. And if your alarm goes off at 6 or 7, or you're lazy and sleep past all that, why don't you just resolve in this coming year to start your day like this? Oh, God, I'm just a desperate sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Lord, when I put my feet on the floor and I get up this morning and I go about my activities, if I do anything at all today that honors you, magnifies you, exalts you, glorifies you, it'll have to be done through the Holy Spirit. You'll have to come live in me, move through me, guide me, direct me, and help me. And Lord, when this day's ended, I'm just going to give you praise. I'm going to thank you for every good and perfect gift. I've settled that sin question, that salvation question. Upwardly, I've repented, confessed, I know I'm right with you. And outwardly, I've done those things that are commanded in the Word of God. I followed you in baptism. I've joined a church. I am actively and faithfully supporting that church. I'm living out in obedience to Christ's life to the very best of my ability. Lord, I've begun to understand more and more about true theology. That this is not about what I want. This is about the fact that you are my stronghold, and I don't need to fear anything that goes on in life. And Lord, I've come to understand that I do have enemies and there will be conflicts and bad things do happen. But you're a sovereign God who's Lord over all. And Lord, I've learned that no matter how ugly it is, you're more beautiful than the worst thing that could ever happen to me. So, Lord, I declare that because you are sovereign and I am secure, I will sing and make melody unto the Lord. God, I'm going to praise you in the year to come. Here it is, and then we'll stand. I do not know what 2018 holds, but I know who holds 2018, and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him because he is a sovereign God, and I am a secure son of God. Let's stand together. Our pastors are going to come, and they'll be here on the altar to help you any way that they possibly can. I've breached some very serious matters this morning. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, what a glorious way to begin the new year. Oh my, today to trust Jesus, to walk out of this year into next year, knowing that you're saved by His grace and heaven bound, what a glorious thing that would be. If you've never publicly professed Him, you know Christ lives here, but you've never let others know about that, this morning would be a great time for you to come and say, I want to end this old year and start this new year in obedience to my God. And there are dozens of you who worship with us every Lord's Day, but you've not yet become a part of this New Testament church. Wouldn't this be a great day to say, I want to enter the new year with a family, with a faith family of believers that'll stand with me and stand by me, pray for me, encourage me, help me in every way possible. And maybe as the old year closes, you're saying, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's happening at my house. You don't know what's happening in my life. I'm facing some very difficult issues. None are so ugly that it hides His beauty. None are so terrible that you cannot trust Him for the outcome. So today, why not find a praying place and say, Lord, I'm not here to complain. I'm here to praise. I'm not here to ask you to take me out of this situation. I'm asking you to teach me in this situation how to be more like Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm not asking you to change things. I'm asking you to change me. I'm the one that needs changed. Just these quiet moments, as the old year ends and the new year begins, are you prepared? Pastors, come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that